This week's Torah portion is called Bo. And it encompasses Exodus 10, 1 through 13, 16. I'm going to go a little slow because I did not provide slides to our translator. So I'm just going to go a little bit slow. Okay, we get the title of this week's Torah portion, Bo, from the first line of the passage. And it says, Vayomer Yahweh al Moshe Bo el Paro, which is, God said to Moses, go to Pharaoh. We find that in many of the cases, when God was performing these signs, he told Moses, go to Pharaoh, and he kept sending him to Pharaoh. And what I'm going to do next is to provide a summary of the Torah portion, a high-level summary. And keep in mind that the summary is not meant to be in detail. The summary is only meant to whet your appetite to go in and look for yourselves. It doesn't do it justice because there's a lot in it. And the truth is in the details. So, we'll begin with chapter 10. Chapter 10, God tells Moses the reasons why he has hardened the hearts of Pharaoh and his servants. So he explains to him how it's to go forward and show all these signs, how it was to serve as a sign for the children, for the coming generations, so that they would see what happened to Egypt and remember. And we'll touch back on that a little later. But moving forward, Moses warns Pharaoh about the locusts. So God tells Moses, basically, I am about to bring a plague. He's not going to let you go. And the plague that's coming is the locusts. Moses, as typical with all of these signs and wonders, goes and talks to Pharaoh and explains to him, here's what's going to happen if you don't let us go and worship Yahweh. Of course, Pharaoh refuses to let all of them go and brings on, Yahweh brings on the judgment. So in chapter 11, that's a summary again of chapter 10, and it's not all encompassing. I don't do it justice because there's a lot of details in there for you to go back and read. Chapter 11, God tells Moses of the last plague. So he, in essence, explains to Moses, there's only one plague left. And after this one, he will let you go. In essence, letting Moses know so he can prepare the people for what's coming. This was the plague of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn. God instructs Moses to have the people borrow jewels of silver and gold, or jewelry. He tells them, go tell the people to go and inquire of the Egyptians for their jewelry made of silver and gold, which seems sort of strange in and of itself, because if you consider that they would have been slaves asking, in essence, the people in power over them for their valuables, and yet Yahweh had the Egyptians, they found favor in the Egyptians' eyes, it says, and so they gave them of their jewelry. Moses tells the people about the plague that's about to come. So he tells them again, this is going to be the Passover, and this is how you're to prepare, this is what you're to do, you know, and in essence warns them, be ready, because when it happens, we're going to be thrust forward, we're going to be, you know, we're going to have to go quickly, in essence. So continuing with chapter 12. God tells Moses and Aaron, this is the beginning of months. He's talking about the Passover. The Passover was to serve as the beginning of months. It's not Rosh Hashanah. It is the Passover time period that's to serve as the beginning of months of the year. Makes it very clear in chapter 12. God gives Moses instructions for the people concerning the Passover. So again, this is going through all of the regulations that were to be observed, that were to be followed regarding the Passover. The details are found in chapter 12. God provides instructions regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So again, the Passover, which involved, you know, the Passover lamb and what they were to do in that regard. Then he talks about the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they were to observe unleavened bread for a period of time of 7 days, so on. So the details are found there in chapter 12. Then it goes through about the plague of the firstborn. So the actual Passover is explained, or at least it's touched on in this chapter as to what happens. And, of course, we know Pharaoh lets the people go. But this was not a, you know, thanks for being here. You guys are free to go now. You know, it was a like, go. Leave now. You know, it was a forcible. It was in the middle of the night. It was, go. Get away from me. Oh, and bless me also. So that was kind of interesting. And that he now, through all the things that had come to pass, through all the things that had happened to him, understood where he was. Understood who God was. And told Moses, bless me also as you leave. And in chapter 13, Moses instructs the people regarding the dedication of the firstborn to God. So it talks about laws concerning the firstborn. And this was not just the firstborn of mankind, of humans, but also a beast too, it says. They were all to be, to belong to Yahweh. So he instructs on that. Instructs the people regarding the Feast of Unleavened Bread, again. Moses tells the people where they're going. And he tells them basically, we are now at the time where God is going to fulfill that promise that he made to your forefathers. And he is taking you to the promised land flowing of milk and honey. And so, in essence, that is a brief, again, barely scratching the surface of the details of each of these chapters. But just wanted to bring each of them to you so you know what's contained therein. Perhaps go back and look with a fine-tooth comb. But what I wanted to talk about, as I was going through the Torah portion, what caught my eye was wind. This morning, as we were coming in, you can see the wind, and it's pretty heavy and strong. And as I was reading it, it was the wind that caught my attention in the Torah portion. And so we're going to go through a couple of scriptures and then come to a couple of final points. There's one more point here, a reminder that it was by strength and hand of God that brought them out of Egypt. That's where I was going as it pertains to the wind, you know. And so, Exodus chapter 10, verse 13. It says, so Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and the Lord directed an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. So it's saying that it was the east wind that was blowing. God used the east wind to bring the locusts. In other words, God used the east wind for judgment because it was the east wind blowing all night that brought about the locusts, which were used to judge the gods of Egypt. Okay, this was one of the first instances. And just that term, east wind, I know I've seen that before in other places in the Torah and other places. And so that's what got me into looking for wind. And there were so many passages regarding the wind that we couldn't go through them all. But I just brought a couple so we could look at other aspects of the wind. Even in the Torah portion itself, Exodus 10:19, it says, so the Lord shifted the wind to a very strong west wind now. So the east wind brought in the locusts, the west wind took out the locusts. In other words, the wind changed direction. And through the change of direction, it either brings in judgment or it takes judgment away. I thought that was interesting. Which took up the locusts and drove them into the Red Sea. Not one of the locusts was left in all the territory of Egypt. So this shifting of the wind, in essence, took the judgment completely away. It says not one locust was left. I found that interesting. And this is what kind of got me into the journey of looking for more aspects of where it talks about the wind. Genesis 8:1. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth, and the water subsided. So if we remember the story about Noah, God brought the water as judgment because the people were found evil in his sight. And the water consumed everyone. And here we find that it was the wind blowing that caused the water to subside, caused that judgment to go back, and then presenting the dry land where mankind would then thrive again. Here's another scripture about the wind, Genesis 41:27. It's the seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears scorched by the east wind will be 7 years of famine. So here the east wind is again presented, and the east wind in this instance is presented as something that would represent 7 years of famine. It would bring on famine, as it talks about these ears that were scorched by that east wind. Exodus 14:21. This is further in the next week's Torah portion. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea back by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land. So the waters were divided. In this aspect of the east wind, he brings the children of Israel into dry land. In other words, he causes the east wind to blow all night so as to put them into dry ground and provide for them safe passage. So again, it's just another aspect of what the wind is used for. Exodus 15:10. You blew with your wind, the sea covered them, they sank like lead in the mighty waters. And this is in reference to when the Egyptians followed in after them, that same wind that had blown to create safe passage was now used to bury them in a watery grave, in essence covering them with water. So it's interesting that the wind is used in different ways, sometimes to judge, and then sometimes to maintain or create a passage of safety, create safety for them. Numbers 11:31. This is the last reference to the wind that I put in the slides. And it's now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. The reference to this is, of course, they had been complaining, murmuring, that they didn't have any meat to eat. And it's strange. This particular part is strange because it's sort of a blessing, but it's sort of Yahweh's mad at them because he says, "You want meat? Fine. I'm going to provide so much meat, it's going to be coming out of your nostrils," you know. And basically he uses the wind. The wind does provide the meat for them, you know. But in essence, it's kind of it's strange in that it's both a blessing, but it's also, you know, anger also. It's kind of interesting in that regard. So when I looked at the word wind, this is the word wind, and it's ruach. It can mean wind, breath, mind, spirit. So that's interesting. It's the wind that can be used to both bless and to curse. It's the ruach that resides within us that can be used to keep us in the right way, to lead us into the dry path, into higher ground, into dry ground, providing safe passage. Or it's the ruach that is within us that will convict us when we're going astray, convict us when we're doing wrong, remind us that we're not on a path that's our own. It's his ruach that he gives to us. And it can be used like the wind, both to provide for us safety and also to provide for us conviction and judgment. And so it's with that we go forward, and we have to keep that in mind as we walk with Yahweh, that his ruach is what provides us life, sustains us, but it's also that which can judge us. Because if we claim to be his people and we claim to follow him, then we also claim onto the curses that he promises for those who don't go in that direction. Now that brings me back to Pharaoh. Exodus 10, 1 through 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I may perform these signs of mine among them, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son and of your grandson how I made a mockery of the Egyptians." Yours may read differently, by the way, but "and how I perform my signs among them, that you may know that I am Yahweh." See, Moses many times came to Pharaoh with the word of God. God's word to Pharaoh was, "Let my people go that they may serve me." And in every instance, Pharaoh hardened his heart. And that means he became stubborn. And so Yahweh's word comes to Pharaoh, and he became stubborn, and his servants were stubborn against Yahweh's word. And that was used as a lesson and as a reminder that would carry forward for generations. And it was used for, as he says, for the hearing of the son of the coming generations. "How is the Egyptians, how I perform my signs among them, that you may know that I am the Lord." So it was interesting that it's that stubbornness that was used to bring about all the signs and wonders that Yahweh made amongst his people. And it was that stubbornness that was used to actually bring them out of Egypt. If Pharaoh had simply changed his mind at any given point and said, "You know what, you may go." But the times that he said, "You may go," he said, "Well, you know, not all of you may go. Maybe I'll let the male of you go and keep the women and children. Now I've sinned, so go ahead and take the male, take the women and children, but I'm going to keep all your cattle and your herds." Now, God took every last bit that belonged to Israel and separated them, made a distinction. And it was that was used for future generations to remember that it was with the strength of hand and Yahweh's manifestation on this earth in the physical presence of mankind that he took Israel out of Egypt. And so ends the Torah portion. We have to always remember that we can always be a lesson, whether the lesson is for us or for future generations. Baruch Hashem.